Well, I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in God's house, and it was good to be here last night and hear Brother Tommy preach about the goodness of God.
Yep.
And in fact, I told some of the people that came with me, I said, you know what? I'm going home to work up a message on that scripture that he used right there over in Naaman. But it was good last night, and I wish I could have been here some other days with you there, Brother Frank, but we've got a lady in the hospital that's on the end of the road, and we wanted to be there with her. And I bent down as we prayed with her the other day. She said, I'm going to beat you to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to know that we're going.
Yeah.
Amen. And my Bible tells me I can know.
Yes.
I know the way, the truth, and I know the life. Amen.
Yeah.
If you have your Bibles, turn over into Joshua chapter number 2, verses 12 and 13 and 14. And we'll read those portions of scripture to you. And you know the story as well as I do. We explain it at church many times, but most of you are church people, so you'll know the story. It's about when Joshua sends in the spies there to Jericho, and Rahab hides those spies. And we start in verse number 12, and it says, Now therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Pastor, would you pray before we preach?
Father, in Jesus' name, we're so glad today that we can come to the house of the Lord and hear the word of God expounded. And I pray, Father, that you just anoint now.
Touch us, Jesus. Help us, Lord.
That the anointing of God will be upon you today.
Help
me preach with power and authority. Father, we thank you for all these people here today. Thank you for the men of God. Lord, I pray your blessings on them as they go back to their respective ways. The Holy Ghost of God, have your precious will. Go by every pew. Touch every heart today. Do the work of God. And touch every soul that's here today. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, she said, give me a token. In other words, what she was saying, give me a promise that you will take care of my family if I take care of you. Yeah. Well, you know what? God's given us some promises. He's given us over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. And let me just share a few promises with you today. I hope it'll encourage your heart to hope you keep on going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. First promise he's given us this book right here, my friend. Listen, he tells you and I that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Amen. Let me tell you something. We're not going to accomplish anything within ourselves. It'll be accomplished through the word of the living God. This word is alive, it is true, and it is settled in heaven forevermore. Amen. And you know what? Hey, the word of God is faultless. It's unshakable. It endureth forever. God's word shall never pass away. Someone gave me this here just a while back. I get things all the time just like most of the preachers do. But it goes right along with this message. It says about God's holy book right here. This book is the mind of God, the state of man. It is the way of salvation, the doom of the sinner, and the happiness of the believer. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. And continue on in the light that it may direct you. It is food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the cape, Christian's charter. Christ is its subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. It shall fill us our memory, rule our heart, guide our feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is given to you in life, will be opened in the judgment, and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its precepts. Amen. Buddy, I'm talking about the word of the living God. You know what? Hey, if anyone is going to get saved in our churches, we're going to have to preach the living word of God. The Bible says this right here in 2 Timothy, you know it as well as I do, 3:16. Hey, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now in the day and hour in which we live, brothers and sisters, hey, we hear people say, I don't want to hear doctrine. But if you don't have any doctrine, you don't have any word of God. Amen. Doctrine, what is the doctrine? It is the truth of our Christian faith, what we believe according to the word of God. It is good for doctrine. This word is good for reproof. What does reproof mean? It means that we expose false teachings. How do we know when there are false teachings around us? And buddy, they are prevalent today in the day and hour in which we live. Hey, it is good to expose false teachings, but not only to expose false teachings, but false beliefs that would come into my life and your life. Everything is measured by the word of God. Amen. It's good for correction. Correction. Hey, we always are correcting our children. We correct our grandchildren. But you know what? Sometimes God's children need a little correction along the way. It keeps us in line when we start to stray, when we veer to the right or veer to the left. God's word keeps us straight on the path and in the course which he has chartered for you and I. It's the word of the living God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's not been too long ago. I'll share this with you. I shared it several times in different places. But you know what? Everybody in our churches that comes on a regular basis are not Christians. We like to think they're saved. Oh, they come to church regular. They give their money on a regular basis. Hey, they even work in the church. They support the church in every avenue. They may sing in a choir. They may teach a Sunday school class. But everyone in God's house is not saved.
Yes.
You say, how do you know that? Well, I know it from personal experience.
Right.
It blessed my heart, you know, and I got to share it with you. You think every preacher's wife is saved, don't you?
Come on.
I'm not being critical of any denomination. Now, I want you to understand this. My wife was raised in the old Pilgrim Holiness Church. All of her people were Pilgrim Holiness. And the Pilgrim Holiness merged with the Wesleyan Methodist, and it became the Wesleyan denomination. That denomination teaches, and I don't agree with it. I was in that denomination for about 5 years, went to school through the denomination, but could never settle one issue in my heart and in my life that I was saved and born again and had assurance of it in that denomination.
Right.
Now, she'd been taught that she could get saved and lost as a child all the way up through all these years. Good woman, good wife, buddy support me, stuck with me through thick and thin. But you know what? She came in from school one day. She teaches fourth grade EC children there in Greensboro. She come in from school one day, and she sat down, and she said on the sofa there, she said, I got a no. Oh, I got a no. I said, I didn't know what was going on. See, you don't never know who the Lord's dealing with. You know, that's the reason you always got to be sensitive to the Spirit. I said, what do you got to know? She said, I just got to know if I'm saved or not. I said, what? She said, I just don't know. I said, well, let me see this. Do you ever remember a time when you went down to the altar and you asked God to forgive you of your sins? She said, well, when I was 19, I went down but she said, you know what? I don't know for sure. And I said, well, you know what we do? We get all over again, and we start with this word right here, and we start all over. And when you get up, then you'll know according to the word of God that you've been... Listen, hey, God don't... Hey, the Holy Spirit don't continually convict people's hearts if they're saved. He don't continually put doubt in people's minds. Hey, the doubt comes because they have not been born again. And so we got down. We prayed, just as the word of God says. She confessed she was a sinner. Hey, she asked God to forgive her of her sins. She wanted to be born again, saved. And you know what? Hey, she got up. She says, now what do I do now? I said, well, here it comes. Now listen, this is not easy for a lady that's been raised in church and the pastor's of the church's wife, you know. But you know what? Hey, listen to me. She said, what do I do now? I said, well, you go before the church. And you know what? You tell them what happened.
Amen.
And you know what? Hey, then you're baptized. You're following the Lord. Hey, we're not sprinkling. We're going down in the water, baby. And you know what? She come to church. And you know what? Isn't it something how the Lord works? There's no mistakes. God's timing is perfect, my friend. And you know what? Hey, it was on the next day was on a Wednesday. And you know, I sat down and put down 12 or 13 scriptures about the assurance of salvation, you know. And I preached that. And before I got done preaching it, she jumped up. Now, she's never been an emotional person like that. It shocked me. She jumped up and she says, "I just got to go now." I said, "What do you got to go now?" She said, "I got to tell everybody what happened." I hadn't said a word. And she come down, and boy, she was squalling and bawling, and she was rejoicing, and then the people got to rejoice. Listen, that stuff rubs off on God's people. And you know what? Hey, it gets better and better. See, your testimony has an impact on somebody else's life. Hey, Connie Pennell, deacon there at the church, his daughter was there that night, and you know what she did? Listen, this is God. It ain't got nothing to do with me. She stood up. She started crying. She said, "I got surgery in the morning." And she said, which I knew that. She said, "I got surgery in the morning." And she said, "I don't know if I'm saved." I said, "Do you want to get saved?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Come on down." Thought the Price is Right is on here. So she comes down and prays the sinner's prayer. She gets saved. I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that does it, my friend. If we'll just preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, do what the Bible says, the Word of God will do it. Hey, it will not return void. It'll do exactly what it's accomplished to do. But He's given us the promise of His Word, my friend. I got a time limit on this thing. The second token He's given us in the promise of His precious blood. Now, buddy, in a day and hour in which we live, it's still the blood.
Amen.
I don't care what the modernists say. I don't care what the liberals say. It is still the blood that washes us clean and makes us fit before the throne of God.
Amen.
Several years ago, well-known radio preacher says, it was not the blood that saves. It was His death on Calvary's cross that saves us.
Amen.
Well, I thank God for His death on Calvary's cross. But the Bible tells us over in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no remission of sins. You're not going to heaven unless you've been bought by the price of the blood of the Lamb of God. When the death angel came through Egypt, they were commanded to put blood on the lintel on the doorposts. And He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The only way that you and I are in right standing with the holy and a sovereign God of the universe is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you can approach heaven's throne is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He says, if I confess my sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? When I pray, I say, oh God, please forgive me for any of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you said that if I can come boldly before the throne of grace and make my petitions known. And by the way, hey, if I pray in the will of God, He said He'd answer my prayers. But it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to move on. And then, not only do we have the promise of His Word, the promise of His blood, but we have the promise of forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
There are a lot of people running around today, and they're in church, and they don't know if they have the forgiveness of sins. Let me tell you something. This easy believism, now I don't try to make salvation complicated by no means, but let me tell you something. If you have been forgiven by the blood of Christ and you have forgiveness of your sins, the Bible said you are a new creature.
Amen.
All things are passed away.
Oh.
Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. Hey, if you haven't changed, God hadn't changed you, you're not saved.
Amen.
Now, the same thing I say here is the same things I'd say on Sunday morning. I don't change the message to fit the need. I gave three things Sunday morning. Number one, you don't know how you're saved? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord? Yeah. That's number one. If you're not walking in obedience to God, you're not saved.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, some people don't agree with that. But you know what? We must walk in obedience.
That's right.
And hey, you know what? We'll know that we have the forgiveness of sins. You know what? You remember that old burden that we carried that was so heavy? Boy, I tell you, it weighted us down. And you've heard other people say this, but I had it happen, see. Now, this is not something off of the wall. But you know what? The night that we knelt down and God saved our unworthy soul, that night when we left the church, it felt like the weight was all gone. You know why? And it's happened to you if you're saved, because the burden of sin had been lifted. Buddy, thank God for the forgiveness of sins. We can lay down, and you know what? Because of the forgiveness of sins, we can lay down in our bed at night and have peace in our heart and wake up in the morning with joy in our soul.
Amen.
I tell people sometimes, they say, how you doing? I said, I'm so happy I had to sit on both of my hands to keep from slapping myself to death. I told the brother here this morning, he said, how you doing? I said, every day's a holiday and every meal's a picnic.
Yeah.
Boy, because of the forgiveness of sins, we're not carrying that load anymore.
That's right.
And then, because of the resurrection of Christ, he said that he would be resurrected in his word.
Amen.
And because he lives, I live also.
Amen.
And I will live forevermore.
Amen.
And I'm going to move on. And then the fifth token is that God answers prayer.
Amen.
Buddy, I don't know what you're going through, but there's a God in heaven that knows.
Amen.
Some of you got family problems. Some of people have financial problems. Some have physical problems. But let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that will answer your prayers.
Amen.
If you come to him with a contrite heart and a clean heart, hey, and call upon the holy name of Jesus, he will hear and answer your prayers.
Amen.
Some of his kids is not in church right now. I know how that is. Done been there. And buddy, it breaks your heart when you've raised them in church and you've nurtured them all the way up. Listen, both of my kids been in church all their lives. But you know what? Hey, church is just not enough. They got to be born again too.
Amen.
And you know, even at that, they're just like mamas and daddies. They'll get out of the will of God sometimes. But you know what we don't do? We don't beat them. We don't browbeat them, knock them down, talk about them in front of other people as negative. You know what we do? We carry it to God in prayer.
Amen.
Now listen, it doesn't happen overnight. It don't happen overnight. And there'll be some nights that'll break your heart. There'll be some nights, sleepless nights. Hey, when you're talking to God laying there in that bed, and you can't go to sleep because of the burden that's upon your heart. But you know what? I can say, keep on praying.
Amen.
Keep on praying. Keep on being faithful. Keep on living right, doing right, and God will come through for you.
Amen.
Both of my kids are back in church now.
Praise.
Thank God for that. It's nothing that I've done, but it's what he's done. Amen.
Amen.
And then we have the filling of the Holy Spirit that's been promised us.
Amen.
God said he would fill us with his Spirit.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I have to, when I came, and I'm not being unkind, please don't think I'm being ugly. When I came to the church, it had New Life Chapel on it. I'm just like Frank. I followed the founder of the church. Been there, he was there 38 years. Faithful man of God. Hey, no, nothing bad in the community said about him. Wasn't stealing money, wasn't running. But you know what? Hey, I wanted to identify with what we believe. Because there are so many different other denominations that have a lot of wild stuff and stuff that's contrary to what we believe in the Word of God, that we have to make sure that when people come through them doors, they know what they're going to hear.
Yeah.
And so we voted to put Baptist on the sign. And now we're New Life Baptist Chapel.
Amen.
And so I want to be identified.
Amen.
And you know what? I tell our church. Now, we've got a lady in our church that don't agree with me 100%. And she'll tell her husband, I don't agree with him. But you know what? There's another case where she was raised in some other denomination. And you know what? Hey, it's inbred in her head and in her heart.
That's right.
And you know what? Listen, when I preach, I want you to understand me.
Amen.
I don't want anything to glorify the flesh. And you know what? Hey, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, hey, we'll lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We always tell the church, you don't come here to hear about me. I don't come here to hear about you, but I want to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? When we're filled with the Spirit of God, our testimonies will be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? Hey, we'll be talking about what He's done and not what we've done.
That's right.
Too many times we go to places and we hear people, and I'm not being unkind again, but you know what? Hey, we hear all about what the preacher's doing. Hey, listen, the preacher ain't doing anything apart from the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're filled with the Spirit. And then again, hey, last, and I'm going to quit, we have a token and a promise that of His second coming.
Amen.
Buddy, that is our blessed hope. Hey, we've got the book, the blood, and the blessed hope.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm not going to be like this last guy that bought all them billboards and posted them dates up there and missed it again. And He'll miss it again because no man knows.
That's
hey,
right.
The hour that the Son of Man's coming. And you know what? Hey, but you know what? It's closer today than
You're
it was
right.
yesterday. That's all I can tell you. I know that. It's closer today. And you know what? Hey, I'm a-looking for His coming. And then, hey, if He doesn't come today, I'm going to continue on. And you continue on doing the work that He's called you to do until He does come.
Amen.
I like when Peter walked in the tomb and he saw the clothes laying over there and he saw that napkin folded.
Yes.
I use that when I preach a resurrection.
Amen.
I like it when he saw that napkin folded.
Yes.
And you know, to a Jewish fella, he knew exactly what that meant.
Yes.
It meant, hey, the servant in a regular household in that day and hour, hey, he would look at the master after he had served the food. And if the master wadded up the napkin and throwed it down, the servant knew it was time to come and clean off the table. But you know what? If the master took that thing and he folded it up,
yes,
and he laid it down there neatly, it meant he was coming back again.
Amen.
That's what that napkin in that tomb represented right there, that Jesus was telling us that He's coming back again.
Amen.
You know what? So we have His word. We have the blood of Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the resurrection of Jesus. Hey, we have the fact that He answers prayer, and we have the filling of the Holy Spirit He's promised, and we have the promise of His second coming.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Brother Frank.